Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Friday at 10:35, so it is time for Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities, and we look at the Vermont Humanities Council today and discuss why stories matter. This is the 13th year of Vermont Reads, in which the Vermont Humanities Council distributes free thousands of copies of a single book to communities around the state and invites Vermonters to use the book as the foundation for community activities related to its themes. Well, this year's book is by Salman Rushdie, and joining us now to discuss what they're reading, why they're reading it, and what's going to be happening over the next several weeks and months, we welcome Peter Gilbert, Vermont Humanities Council Executive Director, and Amy Cunningham, Director of Community Programs for the Vermont Humanities. Peter, Amy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is a great pleasure. So, Peter, tell us about how this all came to be and how you ultimately chose the title that you chose by Salman Rushdie and where you're going from here.
This is the 13th year, Joe, that we've chosen the book and invited students and adults across the entire state to read the same book and participate in a wide variety of activities, both local and statewide, related to the book and the themes that the book raises. This book is just a delightful, fun, funny, very substantive book by Salman Rushdie. It's both for kids and for adults. In fact, he wrote it, he said in his talk last week at the University of Vermont, with one person in mind, and that was his son, when his son was 11 years old. And he said, I want my son to enjoy it when he's 11, and I want him to come back to it as an adult and enjoy it then, too. So this is not just a kid's book. This is a book that everybody will enjoy. It's a great book to read aloud and to enjoy whatever one's age.
It is Harun and the Sea of Stories. And Amy, as far as the programs that will be surrounding this, I mean, you had your first basically with with Salman Rushdie himself, right?
That's right. It was an unbelievable way to launch Vermont Reads 2015. He came to the University of Vermont, as Peter mentioned. We had not only did we have a full house there that night, but we also live streamed the event and had public libraries around the state broadcasting it to patrons that night as well.
That's very cool. So, where does it go from here, Amy? How are you looking at the various events that you have set up?
So Vermont Reads is very grassroots in its heart. So it starts with the communities. The community organization contacts other neighboring organizations, and they decide what kind of programming they would like to do using the book as a springboard. And then they come to us, and it's often a library or a public school, as you might expect, as the lead organization. They come to us and they say, we're going to work with the senior center, and we're going to work with this coffee shop, and we're going to work with this bookstore, and we're going to do some book discussions and an art display, for example. And we, in turn, provide them with the copies of the books that they need to implement those programs and help promote the events around the state and provide them with resources in order to do the events.
So how many events are you looking at across the state that you know about?
Yeah, well, so far, we're only not even a month in, and we've had a good response so far. We've got 14 communities around the state that are, as we speak, doing Harun projects. So they've got many copies of the books. They're distributing them to the community. They're doing book discussions, that sort of thing. We have several more in hand. I anticipate that we'll have at least 100 projects around the state this year. And like I said, it's kind of up to the communities to shape the events that they think will work best. But we know, for example, of public kind of community art exhibit inspired by the book. It's a very visually rich book. You can see it. It lends itself to illustration. So communities are taking advantage of those kinds of programs. Public readings and book discussions, there'll be hundreds of those around the state.
When you start this whole grassroots approach, Peter, has it always been that way of letting the communities kind of take it on and in the direction they feel is best for their community?
Yes, they take the lead in many of the activities. The council and other organizations often take make available talks, general in regional centers, things like that, related to, say, in this case, stories, creativity, several of the key themes that we will bring out in programs later in this year include the importance of stories themselves, the importance of creativity, and the importance of freedom of expression. Those are themes that come out in this book that are important, that are timeless, and tragically, in light of recent incidents, only too timely as well. So there'll be programs about that as well, particularly in the fall.
Tell us how the book was chosen. So from my understanding, usually in these projects, you're kind of given a list. Did you have free rein to pick up whatever you wanted, or did you pick from a list?
We keep a long list and talk with many people, many of our partners, and say, what do you think will work best? And we try to find a book that will have some sizzle to it, that will attract and engage people in schools and libraries across a wide range of interests. So a lot of windows or ways to enter into the book, regardless of what one's interests are. And this is a story that is, we haven't ever done a fantasy book before. This is has a kind of a fractured fairy tale flavor to it, a lot of fun language in it. And we try to pick a different kind of book every year keep it new and fresh. And we're very excited by this book. It came out 25 years ago, and this is a book really that deserves great attention, not only across Vermont, but across the country and across the world. And nothing would please me more than have this book recognized for the special book it is.
Amy, how do you work with other agencies throughout the state and communities to set up the programs? How do you help facilitate the many things that are going on, the 14 that you mentioned so far?
Yes. So once we decide on the title, we spend some time here in-house and consulting with librarians and teachers and put together a resource guide. So that's kind of the first step. So we provide discussion questions, ideas for different activities, links to resources. This year, because of the nature of this book, as Peter said, it's about the importance of stories in our lives. So a natural fit for us this year was the Vermont Folklife Center. So we've reached out with them and spoken with them about resources that they might provide communities who are engaging in Vermont Reads projects. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. We have the good fortune, because this program has been around for 13 years now, there are many libraries and schools that come to rely and look forward to this every year. So it's become kind of a foundation for a lot of the programming they do. So they count on us to pick a great book and provide some good resources, and then they take it and run with it.
I was going to say that obviously libraries and schools are a large part of this, aren't they, Amy?
They are. It's a natural fit, of course. But we've also been pleased to see interest from other organizations that you might not expect over the years. I know that law firms have been involved back when we did To Kill a Mockingbird and we were talking about civil rights and legal issues. This year we've got a couple of coffee shops that are interested in participating. So it's expanding.
Literacy organizations are involved. Vermont's correctional system. Every single Vermont prison is involved. In fact, this year and many other years.
When obviously, and I just because I'm curious about this, but how much of this was, did you know you were going to be able to get Salman Rushdie before you chose the book, or was that part of the incentive to do it?
It was, they were combined. It was part of the, we kind of did it together. He was very excited by this notion of an entire state reading the same book. He was delighted that we were so keen to use his book, and so it was a treat to have him say, sure, I'd be delighted to come up to Vermont and talk with you about it. And so it's a win-win. We're off to a great start. People can go to our website and listen to, watch his talk, which is really quite extraordinary. Great fun and very interesting, talking in very personal terms about the writing of the book for his son, its inspiration, both personally and in terms of fairy tale or folk tale traditions, both from India, where he grew up, and the West, as well as the freedom of speech issues, issues rising out of tragic events in Paris 2 weeks ago.
That's right. I mean, watching him speak about, you know, the dangerous role of artists was really fascinating. And I mean, I was not there. I was just watching it, but it was riveting.
Exactly the right word, and deeply moving on many, many levels. I'd encourage people to watch it, and I think when they do, they'll also want to read the book because it's because of the way he speaks about it.
Well, the book is Harun and the Sea of Stories, and that is this year's book for Vermont Reads. And you can find out more information about all of the great programs they have going on by going to vermonthumanities.org/Vermont-Reads. vermonthumanities/Vermont-Reads. Peter Gilbert and Amy Cunningham, I thank you so much for being with us this morning, talking about the project and getting us excited for it. And I wish you all the best over the next coming weeks working on this. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a terrific weekend. Thank you. Coming up next, our Congressional Corner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.